Hello, and welcome to this edition of Food Waste Matters, brought to you by the Fight Food Waste Industry Hub and Honey and Fox. I'm Andrew Robertson, joining you for a series of conversations with industry leaders on the front lines in the fight against food waste. We will be discussing business, innovation, and how these concepts combine to reduce food waste in Australia and indeed around the world. Be sure to check out the website, fightfoodwastehub.com.au, for more info about the series and access to previous recordings, including transcripts, audio, and video. We're also on YouTube, so please subscribe to our channel, Food Waste Matters. Well, we have another special international guest on today's program. Linda Manyeza is joining us from Johannesburg in South Africa to talk about her business, Food Masters. Like Australia and, well, pretty much everywhere, South Africa faces a huge food waste problem, with an estimated 10 million tons of food going into waste every year. Linda's key insight and the purpose of Food Masters is to reimagine food waste as abundance. And I think that's a really powerful framing of this issue. Food Masters specializes in rescuing unwanted farm produce for upcycling into dehydrated products. But that's not all. Linda is amplifying her impact by equipping and training women in rural areas on how to preserve and market their own dehydrated fruits and vegetables. Now, when Linda reached out to us here at Food Waste Matters, I was really impressed by this work, and I was moved by Linda's personal story of overcoming tragedy and ultimately finding this new purpose. All that while contributing to the fight against food waste. It's quite amazing. So I'm very excited to introduce Linda, and thank you for joining us. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Well, great. I'm very excited to have a conversation with you today. Let's start with you and your personal journey. I wonder if you could tell us about your life before Food Masters and the series of events that led you to founding the company.
We were wealthy, we were comfortable, a thriving business, beautiful house in Sandton, which is one of the posh places in Johannesburg. Children in private schools, thriving businesses, everything was good. But life happened and we lost everything. We lost our house, our businesses, our cars. We lost everything. And above all, we lost our dignity. Unable to put food on the table with children out of school, I realized that poverty is real and it can affect anyone at any given time. In April 2017, my husband, who I had been married to for 21 years, passed on due to heart failure. Although my pockets were empty, my mind was rich, and I decided that no one should lack. So I decided to uplift women by training them how to dehydrate fruits and vegetables so that they too could fight food waste, increase food security, contribute meaningfully to the economy while they earn sustainable income and bring nutritious food to their children. So my own story of lacking, because at one stage I couldn't put food on the table and I had to, friends and family had to come to my aid. Now I started thinking of women like me, widows who are somewhere at the back of beyond, almost forgotten, with no one to assist them. That's when I realized that in South Africa, we've got a very high crime rate. Prostitution, drug abuse, street kids. And I realized that the major problem of that could be an empty plate. So it didn't make sense for me when I started now looking into the journey. I realized that more than 10 million tons of food goes to waste in South Africa every year, while 14 million people go to bed hungry daily. And I thought, nah, we had to do something about it. So coming from a space where I had personal experience with adversity, I wanted to make a difference, but making it a business, but with a social impact. That's how I started.
That's a very moving story, and thank you for sharing it with us. Let's talk a
Thank
little
you.
bit about the company itself. So you take produce from the farm that isn't going to be leaving the farm gate. I just want to understand where you began to source your produce from. Where did you find this produce to begin with? What are the main varieties of fruit and vegetable do you use? And What kinds of commercial products are you able to manufacture?
The journey to finding where the food waste was very difficult. It wasn't easy. Initially, when we started Food Masters, I started it with my husband, and we were sourcing bananas from the farms, supplying the fresh produce market. But we realized that that was not sustainable because we were not the farmers. During that time, I realized that there was a lot of food waste in the farms. Some, produce don't make it to the market because of the shape, the size, oversupply, less demand, and things like that. But then I hadn't thought of getting into that business back then. So when this adversity came, and I then started looking into those farms that I had once visited, but it was not easy because some of them had agreements with some retail stores to farm for them. So there were all sorts of regulations and things that were blocking from them giving us or selling the food waste to us. So it took a lot of going into farms in and out, realizing that there was indeed food waste, but at times the regulations and all the policies and everything around it was not possible for us to get the produce. I went even to the fresh produce market because we do have a very huge fresh produce market in Johannesburg. And if I'm not mistaken, it should be one of the biggest in Africa in volume and in value. But again, it was not easy to tap into the food waste. So over time, I kept on knocking on doors, going to farms and showing them what I can make. And then finally, I managed to come across and have an agreement with a group of farms, which produces mainly carrots, beetroot, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, as well as spring onions. So I became part of the waste management, if you can say, because they make pre-cut vegetables for their market. And so as their machines are processing, at times you have those chopped carrots which don't make it to the final line of being packaged. And so we're getting that produce and then we're adding value to it.
Very interesting. Yes, I've heard similar stories from business entrepreneurs in the similar upcycling space who are trying to rescue unwanted produce from farms. And like you, they've found it very difficult, particularly in the beginning, to try and move that produce out of the farm and save it from waste. So it's definitely a challenge that people are facing here in Australia
Yes.
as well. I'm
Yes, it
interested in
is.
the kinds of, well, not only the kinds of products that you manufacture, but where do you sell your products? So what are the main channels once you've done the value adding process that you're actually able to get your products into the hands of consumers?
What I did with South Africa, unlike other countries like Zimbabwe, dried dehydrated vegetables were not well known when I started the business. So it took me quite some time introducing it to the market, creating awareness, going into stores, and mainly I've been supplying the small family stores because it's easier because of my quantities. My dehydrator is not that big, so because of capacity, I supply to those shops. So those have been my main customers as well as individuals. And I also do go to markets over the weekends and sell. And it is mainly to introduce the product, but those have been my main lines.
Interesting. So a lot of education required for the consumer. What's the reaction been from
Yes.
consumers?
They are pleasantly surprised because most of them didn't know that when you cook them, it's almost as good as fresh. So it's the pleasant surprise, after you do a demonstration, and they like the fact that this is something which is dehydrated food is has got a long shelf life. It's easy to store, it's light to carry, and it rehydrates well. And it's just good for the pantry, and it's also good for food security. So they also get to keep seasonal foods, which would have, long gone out of season. And so there's a very good response to that.
And do you find some of your customers are actually motivated to buy your product because of the contribution that it makes to food security, because of the potential social impact?
Yes. Yes, we do have some who are actually interested in finding out how I started, how I got into the dehydration business, because my background is my maternal grandmother was a subsistence farmer, and she used to grow food, and then she would dry her surplus. She also used to make biltong over the fire. So my mother and my father were also small scale farmers, and so I grew up, like pretty much eating the food that they grew and also not wasting. Then they would dehydrate, such that the first lot of spinach, of dehydrated spinach that I ate, came from my mother. She dried it and sent it over to me, and I loved it. My children loved it. So from then, when they hear my story and my background, they're always happy to support, to buy my products.
That's excellent because it's a very powerful message and such an amazing story that you have. But let's step back a little bit here because I want to talk about the bigger problem in South Africa. You talk about reimagining food waste as abundance, which I really love. But can you
Thank
tell
you.
us a bit more about the scale of the food waste problem? You mentioned 10 million, I think 10 or
Yes.
11 million tons being wasted per year in South
Yes.
Africa. What's
Yes.
driving that waste and where is the waste coming from?
What is happening is farmers are doing the best that they can in terms of growing the food. And their main focus, their primary focus, is to grow the food and make sure that like they harvest and they put it out there to the markets. But at times you do find that we have the bigger farmers, the commercial farmers, and then there are also quite a lot of the small scale farmers who have come up. And now what's happening is at times in an area you find that one farmer is growing spinach, and then all the farmers in the area also have spinach. At the end, the market gets saturated, and then nobody is buying, has got that appetite to buy the spinach. And then they end up now reaching out to us to say, we do have a beautiful product, but we don't have market for it. And then the other thing is also about capacity. At times, then you end up with a lot of farmers who have got good produce, but nowhere to take it to. And then the commercial farmers, at times, they also have, their products under offtake agreements. But because of consumers being towards, or rather over the years, we used to buying perfection. So some of the leaves, at times, it just put, a little bit of holes, or maybe the tomatoes are not round enough, the carrots are not long enough. Then they don't end up making it, to the market. But this is good produce. This is fresh produce. There's nothing wrong with it. So this is why we end up with a whole lot of, food waste. So it's all sorts of reasons, either oversupply, less demand, or just the imperfect. I always say to people, there's a lot of beauty contests within the fruits and vegetable industry. People want to see perfection, but at times they totally forget that we're going to make a coleslaw salad. We're going to grate the carrot. It doesn't really have to look straight, but as consumers, they're used to that. So they also need to be a lot of teaching regarding buying the imperfect fruits.
Yes, we very much have the same challenge with consumers in Australia and with retailers in terms of the criteria they have for selecting the food, the fruit and vegetables based on its appearance. And it's a very frustrating problem because at the same
It is.
time as we have so much food being wasted, we also have so many people that are in need of food around the world. I wonder if you
Yes.
can tell us about the people who are in need in your area and what Foodmasters has been doing to help those people, including through the training programs that you've set up.
Okay, what's happening mainly, what I realized is when I started dehydrating the food, I realized that I'm limiting myself in terms of just having that as a business and not creating awareness and training others. So at times you find that there's a community which is really struggling, and just across the road is maybe a farm or a pig house or even a market which is throwing away tomatoes at the end of their shelf life. But the people who are across the road have got no idea how to add value to the produce. So then I thought, okay, while it is good enough for me to do business, it is also good to also tell them that as much as we are reimagining food waste as abundance through dehydration and making and upcycling our products, they too, I needed to sort of like remove the lack mentality, to reduce the lack mentality, because they're sitting and saying we don't have, and the market across the road has got excess, which they're almost going to throw away. So I wanted to train them and say, look, this is what we can do. We can dehydrate tomatoes, we can make powder out of them, and you can sell them within your community and improve, you know, your livelihoods. So I also wanted to do that because I had had the opportunity to also be trained over and above my experience growing up. I also then had, you know, the commercial kind of training, and I just wanted, you know, that to also happen. And it is working well. It is working well. Just 2 days ago, I got one of the people that I trained last month, you know, calling me to say, help me set up dehydration facility out in the rural area where there's a lot of mangoes in Zimbabwe. And this is the kind of impact that I was looking for, because normally when you train women, women are easy to share, you know, they find it easy to share information with their others. So as Foodmasters, we say, although we're a growing business, but we believe in lifting others as we rise. And because we also know that when we train women, even with youth, they also train others. So there is a huge impact in that. At least that conversation between markets, between farmers and entrepreneurs that I would have trained is now starting to happen. So I'm actually happy about that.
Well, I think I'd agree with you that women's economic empowerment is a very important goal and has a whole range of benefits for society. And these women that you're training, they are also setting up their own businesses?
Some of them are setting up their own businesses, but as you know, the major challenge is the equipment. Equipment is very expensive. The dehydrators are expensive, so most of them do not afford to buy the dehydrators. I was fortunate enough to be, you know, taken under an incubation program by a company called Wouldn't It Be Cool, and under the Urban Agriculture Initiative, and I told them what I wanted to do. And this was after piloting the first, you know, project that I did in Witbank with women in an informal settlement. And when I realized that this has bigger impact, because then there were 10 women who had about 48 direct dependents and then other beneficiaries. So I realized that out of projects like this, we can actually have, you know, a lot of impact. But now the challenge comes in on the equipment. It's not everyone who's fortunate enough to get the equipment. But what I have been doing is I've also been working with organizations which can fund beneficiaries. So I train these people, and then they also get like solar dryers, you know, they get funded to buy the solar dryers. All solar dryers are bought for them, and then now they can also be drying their own food, you know, within controlled environments.
So these dryers, is this a new technology, or is this something that's been around for quite a while and that you are just speeding up the uptake of this innovation?
There's two things. There's the solar dryer, which I've been working with a solar dryer manufacturer, as well as University of Johannesburg Pitts, who are more on the equipment side and everything. And they've been working with me, and I've been testing this dryer, and they've been optimizing the dryers. So there's one that we particularly use, and this is fairly new on the market. And then for me, I also came up with a tunnel, which pretty much looks like a greenhouse. And then I put in, some stands in it. And what I was trying to say is I really promote harnessing the power of the sun, because as Africa, we have got the sun, we've got the sun in abundance, and we have, you know, the intellectual capacity. We have engineers, food technologists, biotechnologists, and if everybody comes together, then we can, you know, figure out how we can come up with, you know, these innovations in a way that which are cost effective in a way that most people can afford to do that and dry in volumes, in large volumes.
Wow, so you're also on the technical cutting edge. That's really interesting to hear about your contributions to innovation in this area.
Thank you.
Well, I know you've faced a range of complex challenges, and we've talked about some of them. I guess the technical challenge around the equipment itself is one of them. We talked about your
Yes.
early challenges in sourcing produce and making those first breakthroughs to get some supply.
Yes.
I wonder if there are any other big challenges that you've overcome during the course of your business journey, or even some big challenges that you're still dealing with today.
The major challenge that we have at the moment is actually the capacity. Because with dehydration, at times you're looking at a ratio of about 10 to 1, meaning you put in 10 kilograms of fresh produce, you get 1 kg of dried product. This is why at times dehydrated food, ends up being expensive. And the major challenge that we have, like as food masters at the moment, is our competitors have got huge equipment. And now when you're looking at the economies of scale, by the time we finish making our products and when you're comparing to their price, now their price is way lower because maybe they've got a 2-ton dehydrator, and so they're pushing large volumes and ours is a smaller one. So by the time we get to the market, you find that we almost are challenged in terms of pricing our products in a way which is profitable. So we're looking at scaling up so that at least we can dehydrate more food and also get to a level where our prices are also competitive. But having said that, you find that most of our competitors are pretty much in the ingredient kind of business. They are dehydrating onions, to give the ingredient companies, but for us, we're pretty much fighting food waste. So it's a little bit of a challenge there in terms of equipment, but I believe that once we get to scale up, it will be fine because that has been our major challenge.
Sure. And I think that it's also something, again, familiar in this series of talking to industry leaders trying to fight food waste and how best to reconcile financially successful business with making that
Yes.
important social impact at the same time. And you need to solve both of those
Yes.
problems together.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is really tricky. You find that at times, people would wonder, they would ask me, why don't you just do this as a business and just dehydrate your food quietly and get on with it? But because of my story, my business comes out of my brokenness, and I know that there are millions and millions of people who are going through the same thing and who can also benefit out of fighting food waste, because we're there wanting to say, come 2030, we have reduced food waste by so much, and we cannot do it in isolation. So I'm trying to tackle, like all those, both. But yeah, I'm sure we'll win somehow.
Yes, it's a very admirable mission that you have. And I'm keen to hear about the future for Food Masters SA. What are you guys doing next?
We're looking at scaling up. This is really our next. We're looking at getting equipment which is, which can get us dehydrating loads and loads of food and reducing food waste. But we're looking at using, solar energy. We're looking at using solar energy, which is renewable, because at the moment, one of our major challenges here in South Africa is we're having a lot of load shedding. At times, we can go for 4 hours without electricity, then it comes back, and then it goes again. And now, with dehydrating, if you're using an electric dryer, it disrupts the whole process, and then it plays around with the profile, with the taste profile, with the colors and everything else at the end, because then your machine was running and then it stops. Then that means then we have to invest in generators and other equipment which will make sure that if power goes off, then at least the machines can continue. So that is one thing. So we're looking at scaling up, but using solar energy. We're looking at scaling up or even using biomass, where we use biomass and, boil the kettles, and then the kettles heats up the system and then it dehydrates the food. So we're just wanting to look for those solutions because we do have, we do have the renewable energy for that. So that is our next. And then also to train more people, to train more people, because we believe that we cannot single-handedly embrace this whole food waste thing. But when we train other people, then we can all always even collaborate one way or the other.
Well, that's a good point, actually. Collaboration is so important. And I
Yes.
wanted to just give you an opportunity now because when you reached out to us here at the Fight Food Waste Hub, you were in search of international partnerships and collaborations. So I'm hoping
Yes.
that there are some potential partners for Food Masters out there in our audience. And what would you say to them?
I would really say we value partners who share our vision. And as Food Masters, we reimagine food waste as abundance. We make products such as kale powder. We make snacks such as rusks, the savory, rusks that we have is pretty much like a biscuit that we put in, all sorts of veggies and interesting stuff just to upcycle our products. And there's so much potential. But we really value partners who share our vision and would really want to collaborate. And I'm reaching out to all partners who are interested in collaborating. And I would also want to have the opportunity to visit some of the people, like-minded people who are upcycling products. I would want to know what they are doing, how I can also do my things better, and also share my knowledge. Because this is one of the other major challenges that we have here. That a lot of people who are in this business, they are minding their business. It's not like food waste, like I said before. So information is not really easy to flow, but I really value, collaborations, sharing ideas, and we welcome, such partnerships.
Well, what an informative and I have to say, inspirational conversation as well, Linda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Anybody that wants to reach out to Linda for possible collaborations with Food Masters should email to foodmasterssa@gmail.com. Thanks again, Linda.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
And thanks to our subscribers for joining us on this edition of Food Waste Matters, brought to you by the Fight Food Waste Hub and Honey and Fox. The Fight Food Waste Hub is for everybody who is interested in reducing food waste. Invite your colleagues to sign up for our mailing list and get notified when new content is published. Just visit our website, fightfoodwastehub.com.au. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Food Waste Matters. If you want to get in touch with us here at the Hub, please send an email to hello@fightfoodwastehub.com.au. We'd love to hear from you with feedback, comments, or questions. Until next time, keep up the fight.